Live from KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. Governor Mike Dunleavy's agenda for his first year in office is ambitious, paying a $3,000 permanent fund dividend and balancing the state budget through massive spending cuts. With the legislative session winding down, Dunleavy has gotten traction with some of his ideas, but many others have stalled. Nat Herz with Alaska's Energy Desk reports on how much the governor has delivered.
Republican Governor Mike Dunleavy was elected in November after running on a platform of change. That message continued into his first legislative session. In February, he unveiled a budget that would dramatically shrink the size of state government.
I promise to fix our budget, and I will keep my promise to Alaskans. We will fix the budget, and we will fix it this year.
Fast forward 3 months, and big pieces of Dunleavy's budget proposal have been discarded, not just by the mostly Democratic House majority, but also by the mostly Republican Senate majority. Dunleavy's goal of a $3,000 PFD is still up in the air, but lawmakers have rejected his plans to slash state spending on healthcare, schools, and the state university system. They haven't advanced his proposed constitutional amendments on budget matters, and they haven't even held hearings on his bill to divert nearly $500 million in oil tax revenue to the state away from cities and boroughs. Zach Fields is a Democratic representative from Anchorage.
Clearly is. Budget proposal effectively didn't garner any support, and I think you've seen a lot of skepticism about his amendments to pretty radically change the Constitution.
Lawmakers have also been slow to move on a package of tough-on-crime bills proposed by the governor. But those ideas have shown signs of life in the past couple of weeks, and Field says he and other lawmakers want to get some of them done before the legislative session wraps up. Dunleavy's administration hopes so, too. Here's Matt Shuckero, Dunleavy's spokesman.
They're running close to the end, but there's still time to address some of these concerns that the governor has, and that's why he's meeting with lawmakers and leadership on a regular basis, sometimes daily.
The governor's office is still pushing to see more of his bills and initiatives get across the finish line this year. But Kathy Geisel, the Anchorage Republican who's president of the Senate, says Dunleavy can still declare victory even if that doesn't happen. The governor's proposals may have drawn sharp backlash from Alaskans who oppose sharp spending reductions, but Geisel says they've sparked new public awareness and debate about how the state is spending its money.
It's at the kitchen tables of families, and that's never been achieved before. Now, if you look at items, bulleted lists of the things he's asked for, yeah, they haven't been checked off yet, but they are still under discussion, and that's a huge accomplishment.
Even if Dunleavy doesn't get everything he wants from the legislature, like a much smaller budget and much larger PFDs, it doesn't have to amount to a big political loss. Instead, he can blame the lawmakers for failing to get the job done. Pat Porchot once worked as a top deputy to former Democratic Governor Tony Knowles.
That's exactly what happens oftentimes in the world of politics is, I tried to get you a $3,000 dividend, but the legislature balked, and you need to hold your legislators accountable. You know, sometimes that goes a ways in explaining why you didn't deliver on your promise.
Dunleavy can always return to his agenda next year, but also the session isn't over, and lawmakers can still pack a lot of work and a lot of bills into the legislature's closing days. Shuckero, the governor's spokesman, points out that Dunleavy still has some levers at his disposal. He says Dunleavy won't hesitate to call lawmakers into special session if he feels like they haven't made enough progress on criminal justice legislation.
If the legislature fails to address these critical issues, he's not going to let them go. He's going to make sure that we focus on the stuff and address these issues.
Meanwhile, if lawmakers decide to pay a PFD of less than the $3,000 that Dunleavy wants, the governor doesn't have the power to put that money back. But he does have authority to reduce spending on other programs through his line item veto power. He hasn't ruled out that step either. In Anchorage, I'm Nat Herz.
If you've ever tried to vet a blind date or potential roommate in Alaska, you've probably heard of CourtView, the Alaska court system's electronic case management system. The online public part of the system shows who's involved in court cases, hearing dates, pleas, the judge, case disposition, the metadata of court cases. With some exceptions, how that information gets into CourtView is surprisingly analog, for now. I filed this story about the court system's all-digital future It's a long ways away, but the courts are taking some crucial steps in that direction. It's a Monday in the clerk's office at the Diamond Courthouse in Juneau. Records clerk Amanda B.B. Bay has an inbox tray on her desk with a stack of mail several inches high.
Wow. Is this just a regular Monday?
/ Friday.
Okay.
Because Fridays are short days.
She flips through the paperwork, keys in a bunch of data, and runs through some mental checklists.
Attachment for me. These stay with me. This I'm going to get ready for my file. Stapling these together.
Eventually, she grabs an assortment of official rubber stamps.
Is the 22nd. And then we've got a judge stamp. So once they get this, then they have 5 days to decide if they don't want that judge or not.
That sounds satisfying.
Stamping?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. That's actually what I do in my free time. Oh. I stamp cards.
Some documents get mailed out to the parties. Some become the official case file at the courthouse. They go into an old-school green legal folder that gets labeled with a barcode. There are hundreds of folders of various colors and judge stickers and numbered codes on the shelves. Like typos in data entry, some filing mistakes are inevitable.
Because we are hand-filing all of our files, it's very easy to accidentally put, you know, this into 218 instead of 1218.
I see.
Especially if you're filing a lot of the same case type at the same time. Mm-hmm. So every once in a while, we have a little scavenger hunt.
Until the small claims case is closed, that barcode is supposed to be scanned each time the file moves, like checking out a library book. If two people want the same file at the same time, well, someone's got to wait. Much of the formal communication between the court and the parties going forward with this case also must be done with hard copies, which means more date entry, plus postage or couriers, and days of lag just moving documents around the state. The point is, there's a lot of literal paper pushing and literal rubber stamping woven into the court system's daily operations. In 2013, the system estimated the trial courts took in 4.5 million pages of documents a year this way. State courts handle over 100,000 cases a year. At some yet-to-be-determined point, that will all change. Court employees at Kenai Peninsula courthouses have been piloting electronic filing and document management systems for limited case types the last few years. And later this month, the court system plans to expand that pilot to include criminal cases there and bring on its first external users, like law enforcement agencies. The goal is to reduce workloads of clerks like B.B. Bay and eliminate the delays and errors inherent to the physical system. It should also improve access to court records and free up courthouse office space.
Well, it's a big change.
Tracy Bowie is managing the court system's e-filing implementation.
Change management has been one of the things we've had to deal with. This entire system is a sea change in how we operate as a court system. We have procedures that are very much tied to paper documents. So this idea of converting to electronic documents means changes to many of our procedures.
Court system officials say they don't have estimates for the impact of switching to an electronic filing system.
We don't have metrics in terms of how much it will save.
Doug Williver is the deputy administrative director for the system. Some of his colleagues traveled to other states to see what they had done.
And all of them saw significant savings in terms of a reduction in the needed staff to manage all of your cases.
And the office space dedicated to case files isn't trivial.
When you're storing thousands and thousands of files, if you go into like the Anchorage courthouse, there's a huge room of nothing but paper files.
The overhaul has been in the works for years. State lawmakers approved the first capital budget request for e-filing upgrades in 2011, hoping to be done by 2016. The final budget request for the $13.5 million project said this June. The court system says that's not going to happen. The courts and its vendor, ImageSoft, have been running a pilot of the new system internally for a few years at its courthouses in Kenai, Homer, and Seward. A court system spokesperson says beginning May 8th, non-court employees will get access for the first time, like lawyers and Alaska State Troopers based on the Kenai Peninsula. Tracy Bowie with the implementation team says they've been taking feedback from court employees and improving the system. They'll get more feedback as users adopt it.
Once they've had experience using that system and we see how that goes, we'll make a decision on how and when to roll it out to the rest of the state. Hopefully it won't need a bunch of changes at that point and we'll be able to continue the rollout.
The software world usually moves fast. but even it slows down for the wheels of justice. And finally, one more piece of news on the Nanana Ice Classic. The organizers have announced this year's winner for the guessing contest. Anchorage resident Patricia Andrew was the only person to guess the exact time the ice officially went out on the Tanana River in Nanana. The jackpot is $311,652. Andrew will receive $224,389.44 after federal taxes are withheld. The payout will be made June 1st. Weather tonight, rain. Rain could be heavy at times, low around 45. I'm Jeremy Shea, and that's the KTOO News Update for Monday, May 6th.